I have come to realize that Holy Week is a series of stories we tell each other every year to ground ourselves in the narrative of our salvation and to remember that we are loved. Love, in fact, is the thread that wends its way through all these Holy Week stories, sewing them into a pocket of our heart each year, precious and close. In the midst of our busy lives and whatever sadness or joy they contain, and alongside the world's tragedies unfolding and yet to unfold in the coming days, we stop in Holy Week to hear these stories once more. And we remember God's grace, that it is sufficient and that it can accomplish miracles. Jesus enters Jerusalem as an act of love. The hosannas of the crowd, the palms and cloaks they spread along his path, their shouts for the Son of David to restore the kingdom. Jesus receives their praises, though he already knows what lies ahead, that a similar crowd will soon be shouting for his death. But he loves them anyway. On Maundy Thursday, Jesus washes his disciples' feet and he institutes the Holy Eucharist. Both actions show love by example, offered in humility. Love one another as I have loved you. This is my body given for you. This is my blood shed for you. When we hear these stories again this week, our charge is to learn their lessons and model that love and humility to the world. And Jesus knew Peter would deny him. Even tells him so, right down to the exact cock's crow. But Peter swears loyalty up and down, so Jesus just smiles at him and says, "Okay, Peter, whatever you say." And he loves him. He loves all the disciples, while in his mind's eye he can already see their desertion, can hear their sandals slapping on the cobblestones as they run away. And just a few days before then, they had all been giddy with Jerusalem's reception of Jesus, the palm fronds waving, the crowd's Sunday hosannas still ringing in the disciples' ears on Friday as they fled, leaving Jesus alone, abandoned, and denied. Hosannas that followed them down hallways into upper rooms where they hid. Hosannas taunting them, their echoes dying along with their hope for a Messiah. Yet even in their fear and despair, Jesus loved and forgave them. That's important for us to remember in our moments of desertion. Jesus remains silent through the hits, the spit, and the stripping. They hammer his wrists and feet into a tree, and he must have cried out. But he never denounced them, which is unfathomable, except perhaps as a profound example of love. He knew his death on the cross was crucial to the mystery of our salvation, so he let them do it. Jesus' willingness to undergo agony then somehow becomes a willingness to suffer alongside us now. God accompanies us in our own suffering, so we aren't so alone in our sorrow. And we are reminded that love is stronger than death. People, sometimes we twist our palm fronds into crosses, our hands acknowledging what our minds can't always comprehend. That triumph resides not in grand processions, but in self-sacrificial love. The Jewish writer Elie Wiesel tells this Hasidic parable in the preface to his novel, The Gates of the Forest. I'd like to tell it to you now. When the great rabbi Israel Baal Shem Tov saw misfortune threatening the Jews, it was his custom to go into a certain part of the forest to meditate. There he would light a fire, say a special prayer, and the miracle would be accomplished and the misfortune averted. Later, when his disciple, the celebrated Magid of Mezrich, had occasion for the same reason to intercede with heaven, he would go to the same place in the forest and say, "Master of the universe, listen. I do not know how to light the fire, but I am still able to say the prayer." And again, the miracle would be accomplished. Still later, Rabbi Moshe Lieb of Sasov, in order to save his people once more, would go into the forest and say, "I do not know how to light the fire. I do not know the prayer, but I know the place, and this must be sufficient." It was sufficient, and the miracle was accomplished. Then it fell to Rabbi Israel of Rezin to overcome misfortune. Sitting in his armchair, his head in his hands, he spoke to God, "I am unable to light the fire, and I do not know the prayer. I cannot even find the place in the forest. All I can do is tell the story, and this must be sufficient." And it was sufficient. Holy Week is the series of stories we tell one another every year to remind ourselves of God's saving grace in Jesus. But 2,000 years later, we no longer have the fire those first disciples felt in the living presence of Christ. Our prayers are imperfect, formed by centuries of church schism and battles against heresy. And we have lost the places and can't quite trace the footsteps where divine love came down and died for us. But we have the stories. And somehow, in retelling them once more this week, we will rekindle the fire. We will remember the prayers. And we will revisit the places, trusting that God's grace will deem it sufficient. And the miracle will be accomplished. Amen.